If you would open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, looking at verses 4 through 7 this morning, and a few other verses, but these are the main ones. Paul writes this to the Christians in Philippi. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all." Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Maybe we ought to start presenting now. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I found these verses so helpful this week for myself, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the words, these words of truth, that as Christians, we don't need to be anxious about anything. But in prayer, taking all of our anxieties on you, as Peter said, we'll cast all our cares, our anxieties on you because you care for us. And we just want to be reminded of that truth and enjoy the peace that only you can give that passes all understanding. And so, Lord, give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning. And we pray this always and only in the name of Jesus, saying, amen. Well, I think one thing is for sure, that for as long as each and every one of us live, we'll never probably ever forget the last 3 years, right? Pandemic issues, cultural issues, political issues consume not just our own nation, but countries all around the world. And I'm pretty sure that none of us were sorry to see 2020 and 2021 go. Thank God, literally. But I think 2022 had its own set of challenges. I was thinking about that this week. And while the pandemic was officially over at that time, I think most people, if dare say almost everyone, suffered from a kind of mental and emotional seasickness that we couldn't quite put our finger on. It was like in 2022, we were finally off the rocking boat, but we got to dry land and we were still kind of doing this. And we didn't know why. It was like we're still trying to keep our head above the waves of a sea storm. Well, I thought about it, and one Christian author had something interesting to say. He said, "Even though the pandemic was officially over, we are still paying for the psychological and spiritual damage." Does this make sense? I think it's important to think about. Now, COVID is here to stay. Yay, right? And people will still get it and get through it. I know Carol Weber just had a mild case she got through. I have been struck in 2023 how many different ailments, procedures, and surgeries people at Mosaic have had in just, what, 6-7 weeks, something like that? A lot, really. It's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, but it's not the Jelly of the Month Club. Remember those? You ever been part of that? Anyway, moving on. I think people, it's probably a bit of an understatement to say that people have been anxious, unusually so, over the last 3 years, and that seems to continue on in 2023. Residual worries, anxieties, not to mention just living in a fallen world, where these things sort of assault us, sometimes on a daily basis. That's why this morning I felt led to talk a little bit about the idea of anxiety in our lives as Christians. Now, anxiety can be found in many forms, different degrees, going under different names, right? Including this general sense of being uncomfortable. As Americans, we don't like to be uncomfortable. Being worried, stressed, or downright fearful. And so good old Daniel Webster, who knew a bit about anxiety because he survived the American Revolution, he defined anxiety this way. To be anxious is to be greatly concerned respecting some event, right? Future or uncertainty, which keeps the mind disturbed in a kind of painful uneasiness. Anxiety usually springs from fear or serious apprehension of evil. Okay, that all makes sense. But the Bible talks about these things as well. And again, I want to look at a little bit of where God's word talks about this topic of anxiety. Now, some people, we talked about this in adult ed today, some people have this mistaken notion that somehow early Christians were somehow different or more spiritual than we are today, right? I've heard over the years people say things like this. It sounds spiritual, but it's not. If we could only be a real New Testament church, real New Testament church, to which I respond, which one would you want to be? After all, I don't think anyone would want to be the church at Corinth. Have we all read 1 and 2 Corinthians? I mean, there's some stuff that I might even blush to preach on, right? The people there were so happy. They took each other to court over the dumbest stuff. This is a particularly rich one because they used the real stuff. They were constantly getting drunk during communion. I'm glad I don't have that problem at Mosaic, right? That could be a problem. Oh, and then they let a guy have a pass for sleeping with his stepmother. That's the early church. Would you like to be a New Testament church? Not that one, thankfully. But maybe others, right? The early Corinthian church was an absolute spiritual migraine for the Apostle Paul. But what about the church at Philippi, right? It's interesting. They seem to have their stuff together, so to speak, that the Corinthians didn't, but they still struggled with things. They struggled with anxiety. If your Bibles are open, Philippians 4:6. They struggled with it just like we do today. Paul reminds them, and I think this is so memorable. I'm going to commit this to memory. I hope you do too. Don't be anxious about anything, Paul says to them, but in every situation, right, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What do you do with your anxiety? Do we present that to God? That's what this is about. Take it to God in prayer while giving him thanks. You know, when you're anxious about something or upset, that's the perfect time to pray. And then start thanking God and counting your blessings. Your life, your moment will change, I promise you, right? In 2020 and 2021, I think it was easier to see or perceive other people's anxieties because of the stuff going on, COVID, politics, all that kind of stuff. But I think 2022, our anxieties felt maybe a little more vague, like we couldn't quite put our finger or thumb on them. You know, almost like this wave of nausea that comes and goes without any clear cause that we can discern. That's probably because we haven't considered the fact that when a pandemic rages through continents, and you can look this up historically, I studied pandemics to help me with this. You're like, that's sick. But no, it's really helpful in the ministry because there's nothing new under the sun. But when pandemics rage through continents, it's no respecter of geographical boundaries or people groups. It maximizes anxiety, worry, and fear. And over a sustained period of time, this becomes what psychologists call post-traumatic stress syndrome, better known as PTSD. People struggle with PTSD because of pandemics, because of the extreme anxiety and that sort of thing. And that takes time to work through. That's why it's kind of like, I think we're better, are we? I think so, right? So let me ask you an important question this morning. Remember during the pandemic and now after the pandemic, where did you take your anxieties? Where did you take those anxieties? Did you find yourself increasingly taking them to the Lord, as Paul reminds the Philippian Christians, or to someplace else? That's really a key question. While thanking God for his goodness in your life, did you spend a bit of time thanking God during the pandemic? You're still alive, still eating, still vertical and upright, taking nutrition, as Wayne sometimes says. We have a lot to be grateful for, even in the difficult times of life. Or did you and I take our anxieties elsewhere? Political and cultural outrage, it's unbelievable. Do not immerse yourselves or marinate yourself in that stuff. It will kill you as a Christian. Were you one of those people who fought for toilet paper? Remember that whole thing? You see the videos, people are beating each other in the aisles of Walmart for toilet paper. I'm like, what is up with toilet paper? I think it's a primal psychological thing. Like, you know, you got to have toilet paper, right? Because we don't want to go forage for leaves or something, and I'll just leave it there. I can control the toilet paper, right? I can't control a pandemic, but this I sort of can. I think it's a funny psychology. Did you take your anxieties to food or drink? That was an obvious one that people worked through. Binge shopping was a huge thing. Oh man, binge shopping? hindsight is always 20/20, as they say. That was the moment to have invested stock in Home Depot and Lowe's. Oh, what coulda, shoulda been. This coulda helped me with retirement. Buy stock in Home Depot and Lowe's. I didn't, right? They made billions of dollars. You know why? Because when people were on lockdown, what did they do? Home projects, remodeling, stuff like that, and it gummed up the supply chain with billions of online orders. We are still paying for that right now. This will not go away. My son is actually a freight broker in Denver. He deals with this every single day. Trains, planes, and automobiles. And he said to me, Dad, this shipping nightmare is gonna take years to fix. Right? He's got people screaming at him 12, 14 hours a day. And it's not even hardly beginning to lighten up. What's the cause of this? Anxiety, worry, fear? It's the basic human thing that we were afraid we wouldn't have enough. We won't have enough. We're gonna go without. That was concerning. How about this, hindsight? What if people had followed Paul's words? This is so simple. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by what? Prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Is that your go-to thing in times of anxiety as a Christian? I think we're all busted, aren't we? We're all busted, but this is our reminder. This is my reminder. What if people had done it God's way? Bible's open, verse 7. If you take your anxieties to the Lord in all situations, your prayer requests with thankfulness, here's what God promises. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need a little more peace in your life? We can all use a little more peace of God in our life, right? Take your anxieties to the Lord, not to every place else, right? That's what we're being told. How much peace was unnecessarily lost in your life and my life, especially during the pandemic? Well, it was a panic pandemic, because people didn't take their anxieties to the Lord. Now, I dug around because I'm a word nerd, as you know. The Greek word behind the word anxiety that Paul uses also has nuances of related problems. Distracted worry. How much distraction is a part of your experience, of your life? Being encumbered, remember that old word? Heavy laden with stuff. Being unduly concerned, or even overthinking things. Are you someone who overthinks things? Busted. I'm always overthinking things, it seems. You'll notice pretty quickly that when people experience these various things that cause them and others to be anxious, the Lord is almost never in the picture. Have you noticed that? The more anxiety you have, the less you're aware of the Lord's presence. It's not that he's not there. He's always there. Where did God go? He never left. You left. Elvis, you left the building. Remember that? Am I dating myself? Yes, you are. Moving on. Paul's words, right? Verses 4 and 5, Bible's open. These are nowhere to be found with the anxious person. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Could you use more joy in your life? I bet you could. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, people who are not anxious people are usually pretty cool. Like, oh, I can hang out with them. They're not freaking me out and throwing stuff on. You know, it's like anxious people just make you anxious, right? It's almost contagious, right? Anxious people have forgotten that the Lord is near. Paul reminds us. And anxiety that isn't brought before the Lord will eventually harden into irrational fears, and then you're gonna have to get clinical psychologists involved. That gets harder, right? Kind of like the time when a guy went to a therapist and said, Doc, I live in constant fear and anxiety that I'm a grain of corn and there's a giant chicken out there who wants to eat me. And the doctor said, that's absolutely absurd. So the doctor worked with the person for 3 years to finally convince this person that they weren't a grain of corn, that a giant chicken wanted to eat. Finally cured, the man left, but he came back the next day, and the doctor said, why are you back here? And the man said, Doc, I know that I'm not a giant grain of corn that a giant chicken wants to eat, but does the chicken know that? Anxiety will make chickens of us all, is my point, right? If you don't take your anxieties to the Lord, that's what you will become. If we don't rejoice in the Lord, if we don't remember that the Lord is near, if we forget to pray, you know, prayer, I mean, you need to breathe every day, right? You need to pray every day, right? Thankfully, it's not only the Apostle Paul that has important remedies to the poison of anxiety in our lives. The Apostle Peter, the chief apostle, talks about this as well. Bible's open. Peter has some helpful words on this tricky topic. 1 Peter 5:7. He writes to the early Christians scattered in the Roman provinces of Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. It says, cast all your anxiety on him, on God. Why? Because God cares for you. Do you believe that? God cares for you. Now, Peter's Greek, this was a discovery for me. Spare the juvenileness of it all. But Peter's Greek also means not cast your anxiety on the Lord, but throw on or throw up your anxiety onto the Lord. Are you following me here? Now, if you have siblings, a spouse, or children, have you ever thrown up on somebody, literally? Or have you been thrown up on? The ones with little ones here today know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I'll never forget the time when Deb was holding our youngest son, Zach. He's 28 now, but he was still an infant. And she was holding him up like this and like, Mommy loves you. Mommy loves you. And he got happy and he went, bleh. And I was there and I was trying not to laugh. I didn't laugh because it didn't only go in her face, but it went into her mouth. Ooh. TMI. Okay, moving on. Extremely gross, absolutely. But you see, that's what Peter is commanding you and I to do today. What a thought. Some of you only walk away with this one idea. That's okay. He's saying that your heavenly Father, your Papa in heaven, is allowing you to come to him and throw up all your anxieties on him. He's okay with that. Does that make sense? Isn't this encouraging? It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command. Come to him. Throw those things up before his presence. Why? Because God cares for you. Sometimes people just need to barf. Amen? It might be physical. It might be psychological or spiritual. Has fear or anxiety ever helped us with anything in our lives? Almost never. Almost never. This is helpful. Others have wisely said, what is fear? This might be worth memorizing. Fear is evidence appearing to be real. We freak out about stuff, and half or three quarters of the time, it's not even true, is it? Be careful about unsubstantiated reports, right? Especially in the media, right? Say it again. What is fear? It's false evidence appearing real. Sometimes anxiety takes petty and ridiculous forms, right? Especially when it's coupled with the need for control in our lives, insatiable control. The reality is that I think as we get older, we realize we control very little in our lives. But we like control, don't we? Kind of like the time when a man was anxious and sick, and the doctors feared the worst. He was at home resting, and he looked up and he said, "Is my wife here?" And his wife replied, "Yes, dear, I'm here next to you." Then the man asked, "Are my children here?" And they all cried, "Yes, Daddy, we're all here." And the man asked a final question, "Are my other relatives here?" And they all replied, "Yes, we are all here." And then much to their surprise, the man shot straight up in his bed, and they all moved forward to hear, thinking this might be his last words, to which, "Control," he replied, "Then why in the world is the light still on in the kitchen?" Really, that's your focus, your control. Last days, really? But if you've been in ministry, Dwight's saying, uh-huh. It's like, I've seen this stuff happen on the deathbed. It's really sad. It's funny, but it's sad, right? Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Don't you see that anxiety is a stealer, a thief of joy in your life? It really is. It will steal it from you. Anxiety will not allow you to be loving and gentle with others in a Christ-like way. Anxiety will banish all the peace from your life because you've forgotten the truth that God is near. God has never left. I don't know where God went. It's like he left. It's like If you're asking the question, has God left? Guess what? It was you who moved. Not God. You moved. And so it's time to come back. Maybe even repent for something. Not sure. It just depends on your situation. Well, Paul reminds us, take your anxieties to the Lord. Be thankful. Count your many blessings. You want to age well? Count your blessings. Most older people don't age well, I've found. I am taking constant notes on older people who are like really pleasant and kind and giving. It's like, I want to be like that. What are they doing in their lives to have that? It's these exact same, these things, right? They're giving their anxieties to the Lord. They're accepting the fact that they're in a different place in life and so on and so forth. And they have more peace and joy than most people I have found. Paul says, when you take your anxieties to the Lord, there's other benefits. As you're thankful and as you count your many blessings, God will give you his peace that will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What Paul's really saying about guarding your heart and your mind is the image is when you give those to God, his peace will set a guard before you, a night watch soldier. And he will guard your heart and mind. There's a benefit to this, right? Have you ever seen people in the midst of really tough stuff and they're like cool, they're like peaceful, and you're like, dude, why aren't you freaking out? Are you not seeing what I'm seeing? They see it, but they know something about the peace of God in their lives. They know that, as we sang, all will be well ultimately. All will be ultimately well in Christ. Oh, that's why there's big differences between Christian funerals and non-Christian funerals. Oh, big time. You may have seen that. Well, Peter reminds us that God doesn't mind at all. In fact, it's a command that you throw up on God. Maybe somebody will remember that. I don't feel good. I just need to go to God and barf on him. It's there in the text. I'm not making this up. I'm a word nerd, right? I know the Greek. So when was the last time you did that? I can't trouble God. Yeah, you can. He commands you to. It's not a suggestion. Cast all your anxieties away on you, onto your strong and heavenly Father, because not only does he care for you, he loves you so much that he wants to take your worries and cares away from you so that you may live a carefree, abundant life in Christ. I mean, we worry about all kind of stuff, don't we? All the time. Like, if I could only get away from this worry and this concern. It's about focus, and it's about simplifying your life, right? What you don't want as you go on is just covering yourself with more stuff, whether it be internal or physical. If you want to live a carefree life, you have to get out from under all that stuff. It is simple Christian living, right? Again, it is a command of God. So let me encourage you to memorize these two verses. Oh, that's an old-fashioned practice. Yeah, it is, and it's time-honored. Right? I actually still have stacks of 3x5 cards where I write verses down. Guess what verse is going into the stack this week? Philippians 5 and 6, right? Remember this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation in your life, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why? And to what? Cast all your anxiety, Peter says, on him, because why? He cares for you. Do you believe that God cares for you today? That's huge. I don't know if God's there. I don't know if he cares. He cares for you. His word says so. And only then can you experience the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. It will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen? Cast all your anxieties on the Lord. He cares for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the truth of your word. In the scriptures, Lord, you remind us to cast our worries, our cares, our anxieties, our fears on you, because you will take care of them. You will care for us, Lord. Thank you for that reminder. Life is tough. Even on the good days, it's challenging in a fallen world. So we are reminded, and we want to obey your word to us this morning to cast all our cares upon you, because you care for us. And Lord, we just thank you for this truth. We thank you for this day, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen. Amen.